4 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock, as the late great former Gazette sports editor Gus Schrader said, it's all hash today, and we got a lot of hash to go over. We got basketball, we got golf, we got football to talk about. Wide ranging smorgasbord of things to go over here on this June 16th edition of the Gym Class. Welcome in, Scott Unash, alongside Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer, here on a Thursday. Also, we got a big contest we need to let you know about and get your Twitter finger ready to go. Mark, we have a 4-pack of tickets to next Tuesday night's Midwest League All-Star Game. That'll be hosted by the Cedar Rapids Colonels at our own Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Field, which begins at 7:05. And with that in mind, we have come up with a creative way for our listeners to win that aforementioned 4-pack of tickets to the All-Star Game. It deals with our Twitter account at KGYMRadio.com. All you need to do is tweet us before 6 o'clock at KGYMRadio. And let us know how many total runs are going to be scored tonight in official games of the Midwest League. Every team's run total put together, Mark, and whoever comes closest without going over, you are going to win those 4 tickets to the All-Star Game.
Last I looked, there were 8 games scheduled in the Midwest League today. Yeah, total. In those 8 games, total runs scored. Use the Twitter account. We know not everybody out there has Twitter.
But you can find somebody to help you out.
Sure.
Then give them a ticket.
But we're testing that out on our account, and hopefully, get a lot of participation.
Yeah. And so we will have that for you. You do it yourself. You come up with whatever guess you have. Now, if there is a tie, we will have a drawing between all the entrants there. And you have to have your guess in by 6 o'clock this evening. That's the biggest thing. Just tweet to at KGYMRadio.com. Start the tweeting now as we speak. Where in the heck do we start today, Mark? By the way, Chris Liss, RotoWire.com, is going to join us. Usually does on Wednesdays. We are going to join him on a Thursday this week, and that will be in the back half of the program. Your fantasy baseball questions to be answered. If you have early fantasy football questions on who to keep, etc., you can pose that to Chris. Also, John Cranton, who joins us on Thursdays, will... We'll talk some NBA Game 6 tonight. We've got NBA Game 6 coming your way at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. We've got Twins Baseball on 107.5 FM coming your way tonight as Golden State looks to win on the road in Cleveland and put away the Cavaliers, or will Cleveland claim Game 6 to take it to a Sunday night winner-take-all back in Oakland? That remains to be seen. But first and foremost, Mark, what do Juan Harris and the U.S. Open have in common? Mm. The number 3.
Number 3.
See where I went there? Okay.
Bit of a stretch.
Yeah, but it's a common number. Third, they've just gone to the third rain delay in the first round that will never stop of the United States Open Golf Championship going on at Oakmont. Zach Johnson teed off at 7:20-ish Iowa time today. Still has not completed his round. And it's been 8 hours, coming up on 8 hours here for Zach, Jordan Spieth, and Bryson DeChambeau. And I think between the three of them, they have visited most of the yard so far at Oakmont.
Yeah, third suspension happened about 15 minutes ago due to dangerous weather conditions in the area. A lot of lightning happening in Pennsylvania today. And again, they're off the course. It's frustrating for not only the players, but the viewers and the fans out there. Zach Johnson going along pretty nicely. Excuse me. Through 11 holes, he bogeyed his most recent hole, and he is even par for the tournament right now. That's tied for eighth. Keep in mind, there's a lot of players who haven't even teed off and may not even
have to field.
Tee off today.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, even par is going to be a good score because right now there's only a 6 or 7 players under par, led by Andrew Landry, who ranks about 620th in the world.
About 620th. Andrew Landry has not only never been in a major tournament, but Andrew Landry has never been in the top 20 of any PGA tournament he has ever competed in.
We see this.
Every year. Yeah. Every year in the U.S. Open, there's somebody that comes out of the woodwork that grabs the headlines in the first round, maybe a little bit in the second round. They usually don't stick around at the top of the leaderboard, but they'll stay in it in top 20 or so. And there's your guy this year in 2016. It's Andrew Landry.
Yeah, at any rate, he's leading right now. He's got one hole, I think one or two putts left to complete his first round. He's 3 under par. Bubba Watson, 2 under through 14. Danny Lee, 2 under through 13. Those at 1 under include Scottie Scheffler, an amateur, who is in the clubhouse, 1 under par, 69. Believe he's out of the University of Illinois. Is he not?
I would have to check. Might be Texas.
Kevin Streelman at 1 under through 16. Lee Westwood, 1 under through 13. Harris English, 1 under through 12. And again, you have 7 players under par right now, and that's it. Zach Johnson trying to get back on the course and at least maintain his even par total, if not improve.
Texas.
Okay, Texas.
Texas, yeah. He's the U.S. Junior Am champion. That's how he got in. And he's good friends with Jordan Spieth so far. Tell you what, the guy that's played probably the steadiest from his opening shot through the third rain delay has probably been Bubba Watson. Been very steady so far. Big names have not done particularly well. Spieth has been up and down. He's plus one. He's plus one and probably pretty fortunate to be plus one. He's driven it crooked all day. Rory McIlroy is 4 over now, and he has not driven it well at all today. Ricky Fowler is just 6 over right now, and he has not driven it well. It's to the point now, especially with the rough being wet and the length of the rough, if you drive it not in the fairway, you're going to make bogey or double bogey on that hole. Interesting, the wind has turned around 180 degrees. The longest par 5 in U.S. Open history, 680-something, the 12th, now playing into the wind. It's playing something like 770, basically. And it's a par 6. Danny Willett, Masters champion, laid up because he wanted to hit it into the short grass. He wanted to hit it in the fairway. Didn't get on in 3. He got on in 4 and didn't hit it in the rough. And he had 117 to go for his 4th. Ended up making bogey on that hole. Rory McIlroy had 287 for his 3rd shot coming in. Bryson DeChambeau was 3 under at one point and then went double on 18 and double on 1. Actually got pretty fortunate on 1 when he drove a ball that they thought was out of bounds, but stayed in bounds, but took an unplayable, had to go back to the tee, ended up making a 6, but I don't think anybody's going to be, and they teed off this morning with the best conditions they're going to have for the week. No one's going to be under par for this thing, folks. I'm sticking with my 4 over par winning this golf tournament.
Yeah, you just hope they can get back out on the course and get as many holes in as possible today. Zach Johnson with Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth scheduled to start about 120, 130 tomorrow. That's not going to happen.
No.
So stay tuned. We'll see what happens the rest of the day. They can get back on the golf course.
I think right now it's 4:12 Pittsburgh time. You got 4 hours of sunlight, and they've got numerous rain cells going through right now. I don't think you're going to get the afternoon groups in today to even start. And I think you're going to have the morning groups today, finish up tomorrow. They're going to be playing a lot of golf, and they might not have the cut probably taken care of till Saturday morning.
Yeah, only 78 of the 156 players have teed off. So you got half the field still waiting to play.
Yeah. So I think they're going to be waiting a long, long time. 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. You'd like to comment on the U.S. Open. Fox's coverage of the U.S. Open. You'd like to talk about that. 319-366-1600. That is our Guppies on the Go text line. When you're on the go, we want to know what you think via the Guppies on the Go text line. We appreciate their help. Anytime from any network, standard text messaging rates do apply. And a reminder as well, coming up later on, the APC is going to have a 4-pack of tickets to next Thursday night, Cedar Rapids Colonels game against the Beloit Snappers. And that will be on Thursday, June the 23rd. That is a 6:35 start. 12-ounce regular draft beers, 20-ounce bottle soda and water for just $2 all game long. Z102.9 crew will be there. And tip your bartenders because the tips that night are going to be going to the Salvation Army. time.
I'm going to talk to John Cran here shortly. One of the topics he'll discuss is Game 6 in the NBA Finals tonight. That also is the subject of our poll question, KGYMRadio.com. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. The question is, what team wins Game 6 tonight? Does Cleveland push it to Game 7, or does Golden State close it out?
Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com. Various people on Twitter are commenting. Dan Jenkins, Ron Sirach, people like that. Ron Sirach has just put out raining buckets at Oakmont right now. Kind of like Caddyshack preacher hard. I'm thinking no more play today.
Mm.
So that is about the worst news that you can come up with. Best news is for the viewers, though, there's a lot of Holly Saunders on right now.
Tin Cup was on Golf Channel, so
gonna see a
switch
lot of,
it over.
A lot of Tin Cup going there. Yes, there you go. But anyway, just watching Fox's coverage, much, much better second year than it was last year. Last year, Greg Norman was awful. Listen, Joe Buck's no peach doing golf. Joe Buck is in a bad situation because they do one event a year, basically. They do all the USGA events, but not a lot of people tune into the U.S. Amateur, although they should because it's a great tournament. Not a lot of people tune into the U.S. Junior Amateur, the four ball, whatever the case may be. The Women's Open, yes, I can get that. People will tune into that, but Joe Buck just doesn't know golf as well as others. Charlie Hoffman jumped into a picture there with one of the golfers coming in, and Joe Buck had no idea that was Charlie Hoffman. Paul Azinger, a big, big addition. He's done a great job, much better than Greg Norman. Brad Faxon is there as well, doing a really good job. And then they have Curtis Strange out on the golf course. That's a good group that Fox has put together.
I think Azinger is really good. I think Strange is kind of a crabby guy. He always came off to me like that, but he is very knowledgeable. The last back-to-back winner of the U.S. Open. And Faxon adds a little bit. I think Azinger is the star of that group.
He is. He's really good. Paul Azinger, really, really good. And I think with all that talent that they have there, Joe doesn't have to say a whole lot. I think that's the best thing. There was another part of the round today that Jason Duffner hit the stick on a shot at 9 and went back down the hill, and Buck thought it hit the back of the cup and went 30 feet down on a spin, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame Buck because he doesn't do this very often. I mean, he's a baseball guy. He's a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to just get thrown out there a couple times a year in front of, you know, billions of people to call golf.
Yeah, I don't know what the Fox inventory is in terms of talent. And Buck is a recognizable name at the least. A lot of people don't like him in baseball. But he is his lack of knowledge in golf comes through.
Yeah, it does. And too bad, but he'll do his best, and he is a professional. He will get through it. 17 past the hour of 3. We're going to talk to John Cran in a moment. The other big story of the day deals with Iowa high school basketball. As you heard on our update before the 3 o'clock hour with Todd Brommelkamp, kind of a historic day today. The Iowa High School Basketball Coaches Association have been trying to put through some changes to the Iowa High School Athletic Association over the last couple years, and now at least one of their recommendations is going to be picked up, and that is that the coaches, once the Iowa High School Athletic Association is still going to put out the pods, the six-team pods in Class 4A, bigger pods as you go down, lower classes, etc. But what used to happen is that based on what you did in your first 15 games, straight 15 games, win or loss, whatever the case may be, they put the pairings together based on that. What is going to change now is that they are going to have the coaches get together, and they will seed the teams in each of these pods, and they're going to make it into a little bit of a bracketology program, which, of course, they will sell to the Iowa High School Sports Network, which means all of us in radio, if we want to do anything with it, we'll have to pay an enormous amount of money to run it. My own personal editorial right there. It's a good thing, and they're going to take a look at it for the rest of the sports. Football, obviously, is its own entity. We already know that District A plays District B, whatever the case may be. It's going to go back to that next year. But you're talking soccer, Mark. You're talking baseball. A lot of the other sports like that are going to sit back, and they're going to see exactly how this is going to run. And they're also going to do this for the state tournament as well. So, thankfully, you get rid of the, you know, the upper bracket of death or whatever the case may be. Like last year, you had Wallert, Xavier. This was 2 years ago. You had Wallert, Pella, Xavier, and one more team, Waverly Shellrock, all together. They were the four best teams on one side of the bracket just because of the way their regular season record was. Going to get rid of that, and it's going to be more fair and equitable because the coaches know what they're doing, and they're going to get together via conference call and come up with it.
I think Don Logan, the former Benton community coach, had a good comment. He's now the executive secretary of the Iowa Basketball Coaches Association. He said, it lets coaches feel like they have a hand in their team's outcome. Now they have a voice. That's major. They can take into account all the things people talk about every winter. Player ineligibility, player injuries, various rating systems. Coaches can put all that into the argument.
Absolutely. And if you play a murderous schedule in the first 15 games, it doesn't hurt you like it did in the past. If you are a team that has a 12-3 record and you play 10 top 10 teams, they're going to take that into consideration other than a team that was 15-0 or 14-1 and you played easy, I'm not going to say easy teams, but just teams of lesser ability. Sometimes that team that's 12-3 is going to be seated higher than that team that's 15-0. And, you know, the coaches, they know what they're doing. They see these teams. They see them on film. They see them on huddle. They see them in person. They play them. They know what's going on. So I think this is a big plus.
It's going to take effect this coming season, 2016-17.
Absolutely. And with that in mind, the 1A and 2A pods came out today for baseball. And they will not have a conference call this year as far as baseball is concerned. And they will be put together, and the pairings will be based on records in the next couple of weeks or so. So there you go.
Steve in Cedar Rapids on the text line, 2698. When Joe Buck does commentary, it's like listening to the old guy at the barbershop who goes off on tangents, mixes people up, and talks about things he doesn't know about. Joe Buck should be forced to do commentating on the Home Shopping Network or QVC. At least then he would have an audience who actually cares about what he's saying.
You know, this is going to get down to a Cub Cardinal thing, isn't it?
It always does, doesn't it?
Always it always does. Right down to a Cub Cardinal thing. You either like Joe Buck, you don't like Joe Buck. You either like Jim Nance, you don't like Jim Nance. You know, these guys have a tough job to do, and some are better at a particular sport than others, so... Jim Nance is terrific at golf.
Yeah. Good act of fairness, by the way, to double back on the ruling today or the decision today to have coaches help in the seating process. I think it's very good.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Fantastic. Kudos to the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And you know what? If they make it a viewing party on the Iowa High School Sports Network and radio's not allowed to do everything with it, whatever the case may be, we will we'll let you know who's playing who, and we will cover the games right here on KGYM. Yes, thank you. Thank you to Alex. Joe Buck is the best. 3:23. We're going to take a break. John Cranton set to join us. Chris Liss will join us on the on-deck circle as well. They are in a rain delay at the United States Open Golf Championship. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about Game 6 with John Cranton when we come back. And we'll do it after this break. You're listening to the Gym Class Thursday, it's June 16th edition, right here on KGYM.
The Linn County Fair in Central City runs June 22nd through the 27th. Carnival rides are always a favorite, and they're just the beginning. There's always something going on in the Farm Bureau Free Entertainment Tent, with free entertainment for the whole family throughout the fair. From local bands to a pancake breakfast and even an edible bug-making contest. Thursday, June 23rd is Youth Day, brought to you by Community Savings Bank. Free events include Swifty Swine races and Swimming Pig, sponsored by Keystone Savings Bank. Free admission to the Linn County Fair provided by Bug Protector. The fair is located in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion, Wednesday, June 22nd through Monday the 27th. Sponsored by SPS Inc., Linn Newsletter, CBS2, Fox 28, Hunt Graphics Innovations, and Mediacom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com.
Now through Monday night, take the summer off. No payment until fall at the Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets. Through Monday night, one-stop shop and save on over 1,700 vehicles and drive home a better vehicle with the same or lower payment. But you can take the summer off. No payment until fall. Choose from every make and model. Prices and payments for every budget. Budget Boulevard cars starting under $5,000 and no payment until fall. Take the summer off. Don't wait. Every credit application accepted at the Coralville Used Car Superstore. You want a certified vehicle that has passed a 161-point vehicle inspection and reconditioning program. A free vehicle history report before you buy. A 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty and a 3-day like-it-or-exchange-it policy. And no payment until fall. Take the summer off. Count on Coralville. The Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets on the Coralville Strip. And nobody works harder to get your credit approved. That's what makes us
super.
For details, super. Log on McGrathAuto.com. Click specials.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
We are back at 325. Don't forget to get on Twitter and send your tweets to KGYM Radio and make your guess for how many runs will be scored in Midwest League games tonight. Do that by 6 o'clock. That is your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the Midwest League All-Star Game coming up on Tuesday night of next week. And that will be at Vet Stadium right here in Cedar Rapids. Rain delay in first round of the United States Open Golf Championship. That is the third one of the day, and it sounds like this one may drown the play. Dan Jenkins, would you say the dean of all, not only golf writers, but maybe all journals around Mark Dukes?
Of course. Yeah, he's covered every championship at Oakmont.
This guy is very clever. And he's come out with some great tweets for a guy of his age. How old is Dan Jenkins these days? Is he 80?
He's probably got to be in his 80s, yeah.
Yeah, but boy, what a sense of humor he
has. His first Open was 1951.
Hogan.
Yeah.
So that goes back quite a ways. John Krantz set to join us right now from Jim Fye Sports in Las Vegas at Jim Fye Sports on Twitter at 326. How's everything in the desert? You don't have to worry about rain delays today, do you, John?
No, not at all. What kind of wind delays? I mean, normally it's 110 this time of the year. We've had a windy and, well, cooler around 85 this week, which is highly unusual. But, hey, we don't mind the wind as much as we do when it's scalding hot, which will be anytime soon.
We're going to do some NBA prop bets towards the end here, John. But let's talk about Game 6 tonight. Either the Cavs push it to Game 7 or it's over.
Well, you're right. That's the theme here. Champagne tonight or Game 7 finally turned into an interesting series just based on what happened Monday, which caught me by surprise. Did you guys think the Cavs had a shot Monday?
Didn't really, no.
Yeah.
I thought they were dead in the water.
I thought it was going to be over. But here we are. And here's which way the money's going. The Cavaliers opened 2.5, and it's down to 2 now. So we've seen 64% of the tickets written on Golden State. General public's kind of liking what has been the best regular season NBA team in history, the record-setting champs to get it done tonight. But here's the thing, you know, that last game was very strange, a stunner for most of us, 112-97 win. And when you look at the shooting percentages, I wonder, why was the game even close? Cleveland shot 53%. They had their two guys score 41 points, which was astonishing. And the Warriors were terrible on offense, just 36% shooting. They managed to hang in there, but still, what a bad game for a great team. Part of it was Draymond Green not being there because he's the guy who's been put on LeBron James and has done just a terrific job on defense. What they had to do was they had to mix and match him with Sean Livingston and then Marcus Spieth. None of those guys had any kind of success as LeBron just had a great game. So getting Draymond Green back tonight, very big for the Golden State defense, which was out of sync. And their offense, too, was just unusually, uncharacteristically bad that last game. 36% shooting. While they get Green back, they're not going to have Bogut tonight. That's another surprise twist here to factor in. So you're not going to have the big 7-footer in the middle. He doesn't play a lot of minutes. So how will Golden State adjust? My guess is that Steve Kerr, he'll probably go to a smaller, quicker lineup. That means Andre Iguodala was often the sixth man in the finals MVP a year ago. I wouldn't be surprised to see him start. That'll give him a small, quick lineup. They call that the death lineup because they can be so good on defense as well as on offense. And that's the other factor with Iguodala. He's a great defensive player. And if you have to signal out one guy in this series who has been unstoppable, not really the guy that we probably would have thought of when the series started, because that's been Kyrie Irving. He's been terrific. Guy's 24 years old, about to enter his prime. He's incredibly quick. The best defensive player I think Golden State has is Klay Thompson. He's been put on Irving at times, and really Irving's too quick to keep up with him. So Irving's been kind of the X factor. But if they start Iguodala, you can throw him on there, and that'll be the fun matchup to watch tonight. So what's going to happen? Well, number one, I think it's going to be a defensive game. Cleveland's at home. They do play great defense. Number four in the NBA during the regular season in points allowed. The winner go home, so you know they're going to play great defense. And even Golden State, underrated defensively, number three in the league in field goal shooting defense during their historic regular season. But as for the final score, I think with Green, Draymond Green, he is very much a difference maker. I can't believe that Golden State is going to shoot 36% again. So, yeah, I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I think it'll be close, kind of like the last time they played here, that 108-97 game. So I'll go with 103-101, a defensive game under the total. And I'll say a last-second three wins a game by Draymond Green. How's that?
Interestingly enough, the total points on the sheet for Golden State, 102.5, John, and you just said 103.
And you know, I didn't even look at that, so that was a surprise to me, too.
That is basketball, but we also have baseball coming up tonight, Mark. And not a lot of baseball. There's some off days for some teams. But we got a
Tigers and
a
Royals. Yeah, two teams that kind of just when you think they're going to make a run, they take a step back and then they make another run. So what do you think about this game tonight, John?
Yeah, you're right. The great race here in the AL Central. Saw that it was 99 degrees in Kansas City yesterday. It looked like about 93 today. Are you guys getting any of that extra hot weather?
Oh yeah,
yes we are.
What's it in the 80s?
80s today, but it's supposed to pump in by the time I think Sunday and Monday rolls around. It's supposed to be back in the 90s.
It's not a dry heat, John.
No.
No, that's right, yeah. Well, that's exceptionally hot. Summer is here. Well, here's a game where, yeah, you're right. It's been streaky for both these teams. The Tigers are actually a road favorite here. Open minus 125, now down to 110, and the total's gone up from 7.5 to 8. It's a tough situational spot. Seventh road game of 11-game trip for these Tigers. They play at the Yankees. They play at the White Sox, KC. Now, they are playing well, a 9-5 run. Last night they ran into Chris Sale, though. They lost 5-3. And it's an offense that's got pretty good numbers, top seven. But the pitching staff really hasn't been very good. Bottom 10 in team ERA. Look at these last three games. They beat the White Sox 10-9. They lost 10-9. Then they won 11-8. So some bad pitching. And last night's game, again, giving up 5. So that's a lot of runs they're giving up. We're going to see the old ace here, 33-year-old Justin Verlander. Been kind of a shaky pitcher the last couple of years. Playing pretty well now, 3.77 ERA. He's kind of been unhittable this year. Not a lot of hits allowed. 90 strikeouts in 86 innings. So he's kind of been a throwback of late, playing pretty well. Team 4-1 his last 5 starts. However, he's been great at Tiger Stadium, Camargo, but not on the road. Losing road record, 4.38 ERA, and the team is on a 7-15 run away from home. So I look at this and say, why are they favorite here? Long road trip, you got a guy who's not that good at home, and yet they open a road favorite against the defending champs who are just on a terrific run here. They won 5 in a row. They've won 9 straight at home, and they're on a 22-7 run at home for this season. Playing exceptionally well. The offense hasn't been there yet, but, boy, they got so much else that's good, particularly the pitching and the bullpen. We're going to see Danny Duffy tonight. He's started out as a reliever, but they've thrown him in. They've got so many good arms. 4-1 his last 5 starts. Comes off a game against the White Sox, 10 strikeouts, no runs, a 3-hitter. And when he's faced Detroit these last 3 years, how about a 1.59 ERA? He's owned much better Detroit offenses than this one. So, again, I don't understand why the defending champs are a home underdog here. So I think the wrong team's favorite. I'll take the Royals in a 5-3 victory.
John Grant joining us at 3:34 here on the Gym Class, the Thursday edition here on KGYM. You've included some college football lines for the first week. We talked a little bit about this last week, John, but you got some of the you got all the top games, I know, registered this week. Iowa, by the way, I think still a 28-point early line over Miami of Ohio. I don't think that's probably going to change a whole lot unless there's a significant injury for either the Hawkeyes or Miami of Ohio before that first game comes along anyway. But there's some real good games on that first week of the docket.
Yeah, there's a couple of marquee games. There's not a lot of wagering on these games now because it's so far in advance. But one thing that's interesting is that there has been two of the lines on the whole sheet where there have actually been significant movement. And what's interesting is they're not marquee games. They're lower-rated teams. One is the Army-Temple game. It's gone from 19 down to 16.5 on Temple. And the other one is Toledo-Arkansas State. Arkansas State, a 1.5-point home favorite, now up to 3, 3.5. And, you know, with games like that that aren't going to be on national TV, what that tells you is there's some serious bettors here in Vegas, guys who make their own early power ratings. And when they see these early numbers, they say, well, this doesn't match my power rating. I better run out and bet this. So they put something on it, and the odds makers realize, well, we made a little bit of a mistake there, so they have to jump it. But those are the two games of that entire list that have moved significantly. Some of these marquee games, one of them is this Notre Dame game playing against Texas. Notre Dame, Brian Kelly runs just such a great program. He's got five starters back on offense, five on defense. The catch is, yeah, they did lose some key talent, but it's a program that just has stockpiled talent. He's very good at recruiting. The thing about them is they had to use two quarterbacks last year because of injuries, but this is a team that they lost two regular season games. Look what they lost to, Clemson, the national title game, and Stanford, a top 10 team. They lost both those games by 2 points, won all the others, until the bowl game when they got, you know, beat up by Ohio State. But you saw the NFL draft, how many guys the Buckeyes sent to the NFL. That was an amazing team. So they're off a 10-win season. And last year, Kelly had to use two quarterbacks. Malik Zier was the starter, played very well early, but got hurt. The guy they brought in, DeShone Kizer, he was just as good. 21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, led a great season. So a lot of teams right now in the NFL and college, they don't have one starting quarterback that they can count on. This Notre Dame team actually has two they can rely on, so they're pretty solid. Do have some questions on linebacker on the defensive side of the ball, and the coaching staff has been saying, you know, we only had 25 sacks last year. We've got to find a way to get more pressure. There's really not a lot of standout guys, so you may see some schemes. But overall, this is a great early test for them heading out on the road. And while we know what we're going to see out of Notre Dame, Texas, boy, this is a game that Texas has got to have circled because Charlie Strong is in his third year here off a losing campaign. You just don't do that for the Longhorns, 5-7. Got a lot of guys back, 7 starters on offense, 8 on defense. But the offense was just terrible the last 2 years. Quarterback position is kind of up in the air. You got 2 sophomores, Jarrett Hurd, and a former 4-star recruit, Kyle Loxley. The thing is, the offense has been so bad that Long really had to try something new. So he brings in a new offensive coordinator in Sterling Gilbert, and he worked at Art Briles under Baylor. So you know what they're going to try to do is spread the field and throw every down because they were really abysmal at running and passing. And the thing about the Texas defense, great talent they had last year. They should have been similar to Iowa, top 20, but they weren't. They really fell off the map, particularly in marquee games. They finished 90th in the nation in points allowed, and that's just not what we're used to seeing at Texas. So I'm starting to wonder, was it something where they're not meshing with the coaching staff? Maybe there's some problems off the field, or maybe they don't like the schemes. But there's no denying the fact that the talent is there, and I got to believe they're going to be bounced back. The other thing about this game is, it's a huge revenge game because Texas went to Notre Dame last year. They were embarrassed, 38-3 on national TV. So regardless of whether there's problems on or off the field, they're going to have this game circled. They're going to want to play it, and they've got the talent to keep it close. The catch is the betting number isn't moving that way. It opened Texas Pick'em. Now Notre Dame 4.5, and this is a road game heading to a tough venue with some rebuilding, retooling for Notre Dame. So I kind of think if there's any one game or two games on the schedule Texas is going to have circled, of course it's going to be Oklahoma, but why not this opener in a revenge spot, a must-win game here for week 1 for Texas? Wouldn't be surprised to see the Longhorns playing better than they did a year ago in a game that they definitely have circled from a year ago. I wouldn't be back in Notre Dame here. I'd be looking at Texas and a major revenge back.
Yeah, a couple games I'm looking at, John, on the sheet are neutral site games, LSU and Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. LSU favored by 10. And then you got the USC-Alabama game in Arlington, Texas, and Bama favored by 10. And it's always difficult to figure out who's going to be playing close to midseason form in the opener.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the adages is defenses are ahead of the offenses this time of the year for both the NFL and college, or in September. And here's one of them. Yeah, these are both betting lines. The first one that you mentioned surprised me. LSU, 9.5, now up to 10. And it's a road game here. I know they'll be at Lambeau Field, but this is a trip. So the SEC is getting a lot of respect with this one. And that number actually surprises me. I don't doubt the talent that LSU has. They should be a top 10 team. There's kind of some a little bit of pressure on Les Miles to have a dominant season. The catch is he's got so much talent back. 9 starters on offense, 10 on defense. It should be a top 10 or top 20 defense again, as they have so much talent, particularly on the defensive line. They got Duke Riley up front and a linebacker in Donnie Alexander, who's terrific. And the offense, you got Leonard Fournette, who's the ground game, was one of the best in the country last year. He's back. This kid almost had 2,000 yards rushing, 6.5 yards per carry. Teams actually geared up to stop him, and it didn't matter. So this guy is an NFL caliber talent. When Miles got him 3 years ago, he was the number one running back prospect in the nation coming out of high school, and he's an amazing talent. The offensive line is strong, but what Miles needs to do is try to open up, get some balance, because their passing game has been very poor the last 2 years. Difficult to see them improving with Brandon Harris. He's not a great quarterback. He's still young here, a junior. 13 touchdowns, 6 picks, despite the fact that they were keying on the running game. They had a passing game that finished with 180 yards per game. It was 105th in the nation. But here they are, a 10-point road favorite at Wisconsin. Would you realize Wisconsin was the number one ranked defense in the nation a year ago in points allowed, just 13.1 points per game. And here they are, a 10-point home dog. Boy, that's a bit of a surprise to me. And this Paul Chris team, the Badgers team, and they're going to be very good again. They won 10 games last year. A balanced offense, not as explosive as we're used to, but still very good. The thing that was a surprise to me was normally we're used to these Wisconsin teams just having a powerhouse ground game, great offensive lines. They were okay last year with 148 yards rushing, not usually great, but yards per carry by the backs really plummeted. So I wonder if that was just a surprise step back with the coaching staff coming in, or maybe they're not quite getting the usual giant on the offensive line that we're kind of used to. They do have that on the defense, which is still going to be one of the best in the country. They got a defensive end in T.J. Watt. Yeah, that's J.J.'s brother coming up here in Wisconsin. And they've got a very strong linebacker core. So all in all, I really can't see a lot of scoring in this one. Maybe a 16 or 13 game with a kind of field goals, because both defenses are going to be great. But here they are, LSU, a 10-point favorite. Yeesh, that seems kind of high. The other game you mentioned, Bama-USC. USC just had all those problems last year on and off the field. They're kind of looking for stability now with Clay Helton named the coordinator. Problem is they lost their starting quarterback to the NFL. And here they're playing at Arlington against the defending champs. 10-point underdog. Well, they probably should be against Bama, but boy, Bama lost a lot of talent too. And their strength, we do know, is going to be defense. And I kind of think that's going to be the strength when Clay Helton, too, with the USC defense. So we'll look for a high-scoring game, but it's so difficult to go against these SEC schools in these non-conference tilts, because they always put these big betting numbers up, and you think, oh, I'm going to take the big dog here from the Big 10 or the Big 12, and many times they end up being like 30-9 final scores. So I would look for two lower-scoring games in those ones early on.
All right, John, you gave us a challenge to come up with a couple of props. Let's do this real quick here, and then we'll have you talk about what you guys do in Vegas with Jim Feist. Here are the two I have. I got LeBron James, rebound and assist total. I believe that's over 20 or 20. I'm going to take the over. And then 16 for the lead, the highest margin for either team. I'm going to go under that. I think it's going to be a close game. So those are my two.
All righty.
Mark,
what do you got?
My favorite one, John, is Cleveland under 104.5. I think with the stakes being what they are, I think it's going to be somewhat lower scoring game, and I don't think James and Irving are going for 41 and 41 again. I just don't. So, and I actually like Scott's second bet as well. Largest lead of the game, I'm going to go under 16.
All right. I'll go with Draymond Green under 30 points, rebounds, and assists. Not sure he's going to get 18 and 13. Not a great assist guy. And then the other one, Cleveland total first half points, 53. Yeah, these have been kind of run-and-gun first-half games, so I'll go over that one. If you're looking to watch some betting information, Jim Feist and Dave Kolkin are doing ProLine. It's up on YouTube as well as the jimfeist.com site. He also has a special going for Thursday, 4 weeks for $29 of all baseball right through the All-Star break, 866-546-9467, or you can just go to jimfeist.com, and the free play today will be those underdog Kansas City Royals.
Those underdog Kansas City Royals. That's hard to fathom right there. Hey, John, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I'll see you then, guys.
Take care. Right. John Krant joining us from Las Vegas, Jim Feist Sports, and at Jim Feist Sports on Twitter. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and we'll visit with Chris Liss of rotowire.com when we return.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1. But if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Little Caesars has a deal so big, I'm going to shout it down this well. It's the deep, deep dish count.
Dish count?
Yes, get our premium Detroit-style deep, deep dish pizza with more cheese and pepperoni on sale for just $7.
What a great deal.
It is. Do you need help getting out of there?
Well, when does it end?
July 10th.
Then yes, I'd like help.
The deep, deep dish count, only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Trex composite decking is rot and splinter resistant. Wood is not. Trex is insect proof. Wood is not. Trex eliminates time-consuming maintenance. Wood does not. Trex comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. Wood does not. So here's the question. Why would you ever choose to build with wood? Make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Hawkeye, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back at 3:47 here on the final 10 minutes of this Thursday edition of The Gym Class, we will have our topic for tomorrow, Mark, to let people in on. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. A Father's Day themed topic, as we'll be live at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip tomorrow. We invite you to stop on in and join us. Some KGYM swag for you to win and a whole lot more. 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. Please join us 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and that coincides with happy hour. Getting set to bring in Chris Liss of rotowire.com. If you have a fantasy baseball question, fantasy football question, whatever the case may be, go ahead and let us know about it. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Also the phone line as well, as Chris joins us on a Thursday. We're not used to Thursdays with Chris. We're used to Wednesdays with Chris. How you doing?
It's just weird, Scott. It's been 14 years. I don't think I've ever been on the show on a day other than Wednesday. So this is a remarkable milestone for both of us.
It's a brand new world we live in, I guess, right?
That's amazing.
You gotten into any football drafts lately, Chris?
I did a football draft at the FSTA conference in New York. That's why I actually couldn't come on yesterday. Well, you didn't want to have me on either. I don't know why you guys didn't. I couldn't have come on anyway, so you can't fire me because I quit. But it was because I was in New York for this conference, and I did a draft on Monday night, and I picked fourth, and I took Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham. All right.
And you took Demaryius Thomas second, C.J. Anderson third. Doesn't look like a bad lineup.
You got it. I'm a little nervous that I have two Broncos because I don't really expect their offense to be good. But the flip side of them is that they have a very narrow tree, meaning that, you know, it's not like the Saints in the Drew, you know, the peak Saints where everybody would get 40, 50 catches. It's, you know, a couple guys get everything. So I had Demaryius Thomas and C.J. Anderson, and I'm a little nervous about it, but I like the rest of my draft.
First three picks, Antonio Brown, no surprise, really, Julio Jones, and then Le'Veon Bell. Were you surprised or not at those three picks?
No, I wasn't surprised. I was really hoping the guy next to me took Bell or any other running back, Lefty Beckham, because in a three-receiver PPR with a flex, I just think you really, if at all possible, want to get the receiver at your first pick. And running backs are so injury-prone. I mean, Bell, when he's healthy, is certainly worth it, but I was glad to get Beckham.
One thing that really stood out to me in the first round of this draft, Chris, David Johnson going ninth overall.
Did you think that was low or high?
High. I like him a lot.
That's pretty high.
Well, yeah, you know, now you know what it's going to cost to get him. He is arguably, you know, the best. I mean, he's easily could be the number one overall pick in 2017. I mean, he's a guy with speed, power, catches the ball, you know, can score touchdowns near the goal line. It was an absolute monster over the last few games of the year, and he's tied to a good offense. So you never know if they'll do something stupid like give Chris Johnson a bunch of carries or Andre Ellington, but David Johnson has major upside. And also, you like running backs that are healthy and young.
It's going to be interesting, I think, what Jordy Nelson of the Packers will do coming back. Of course, he's got a terrific quarterback, but in this draft took him towards the front of the second round.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, you know, he's had the full year to recover from the ACL. He was obviously last year's MVP. If we study the difference between Rodgers with and without Nelson, we didn't know that Nelson was the best player in the NFL, but we found that out. And, you know, he's 31 years old coming off an ACL, though, so that's always a tough thing. So I think it's about right. I think if we know that he's himself with Rodgers there, he's a first-round pick, and if he's a little compromised, maybe he's a second or third. But it is a risk. You know, you don't heal as fast at 31 as you do at 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Liss, joining us right now at 351. If you have a question, baseball, football, whatever the case may be, related, fantasy sports, let us know. 319-366-1600. That's the Guppies on the Go text line. That is also our phone line as well. Baseball question for you, Chris. I'm a little bit concerned. Not worried yet, just concerned. About the pitch count starting to mount up for Chris Sale of the Chicago White Sox. 119, I think it was last night, which is not overly over the top, but still, when you just put that on top of 125, 130, 110, 115, got his 11th win, but stats haven't been good the last, really good anyway, Chris Sale-like for the last four starts.
Yeah, I don't. Were you watching his velocity at all, Scott? Because that's the big key. You know, he was a little down early in the year, and he was starting to like pitch to contact. It was working great. He wasn't allowing runs. He was winning every start, and then he, you know, that pitch to contact kind of caught up to him.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when you strike out nine guys in nine innings or 10 guys in nine innings, like he usually does, that means out of 27 outs, you already got 10 automatic ones. So now you only need 17 on balls in play, and when you put the ball in play, there's a chance it falls for a hit, right?
Absolutely.
So you take your chances, but you only need to take your chances on 17 because you got 10 automatic outs. If he starts to pitch to contact and striking out 7 or 8 per 9 innings, and now you got to get 19 and a half, 20 outs on balls in play. So there's more room for damage to be done. So, you know, part of it was velocity down. Part of it was sort of a conscious decision to sort of be more efficient. But now that, you know, he's striking out more, he's allowing more hits, and now that he's pitching 130 pitches, that's not very efficient.
Had a chance, I guess you'd say, had a chance to watch the Boston Red Sox up close and personal as I was viewing Twins games. Twins lucky to win one of those, but I was amazed at Xander Bogaerts. Of course, Ortiz is having a phenomenal first half. Jackie Bradley Jr. right there. Whose stats surprise you most at this point among those three?
I mean, you know, it was really Jackie Bradley was kind of came out of nowhere to have a breakout, but he's young and, you know, up and coming, and the park is very good for hitters. It's not just that the Green Monster's so close and you can just hit doubles off of it all day, but it's also there's really no foul ground in Fenway. You compare that to Oakland Coliseum. I mean, you hit a foul ball, it's a strike in Fenway. You hit a foul ball in Oakland Coliseum, it's an out. right? That's a lot of outs that you're getting that you would have had another chance to hit. And so then you have a bunch of guys who can all hit or are young, like Mookie Betts. You know, Pedroia's having a good year. Hanley's having a decent year. And it's just a monster lineup. Travis Shaw hit for a while. I mean, it's just up and down. And it's just, it's brutal for pitchers. And you know, the home park makes it even worse.
So far, we aren't to the halfway mark yet of the baseball season. Has there been one guy that's really surprised you so far as fantasy numbers are concerned?
Stephen Wright is pretty surprising. He's having that R.A. Dickey Cy Young-type knuckleballer year. Other couple guys that have surprised. Where Ian Kinsler, it looked like the power was falling off. All of a sudden, he's crushing it. Robbie Cano is hitting more home runs than ever, and he's in a park that's not very friendly for home runs. It's another sort of veteran guy that you thought was solid, but you didn't think he would have another level in him. And then on the downside, Harper, they started walking him. He was so good for a few weeks. They stopped pitching to him, and now he can't hit. He just forgot how to hit. And then what happened to him? I don't know. He forgot how to hit. So whatever that disease that's going around between Puig and Stanton and Harper and a lot of the young stars of the game, a lot of them seem to have caught it.
And we got injuries to worry about, too. David Wright, the latest for the Mets. And, just up and down the line, we're seeing, and not just small injuries that are going to keep people out of the lineup for several weeks.
Yeah, it starts to accumulate. I think the pitchers are most likely to get hurt early in the year because they've had the offseason. They got to ramp it up just to get an injury. A re-injury to Darvish and Gerrit Cole got hurt. But I guess Felix is still on the shelf with a calf problem. But I think a lot of the position players get hurt as the season goes on more because they just, it's just wear and tear. So, Beltre looks like he came back today and a bunch of other guys, but, you just have Gerardo Parra just got hurt. I had him, it's rocky. Puig is still on the DL. Michael Brantley can't seem to get healthy. And it's not the end of it. There's going to be, it's going to be a lot more over the next couple of months.
What should I expect out of the Yankees at Target Field besides losses for the Twins?
Well, the Yankees are not very good either. They're not as bad as the Twins. But, I've got a lot of investment in Buxton, and he's just still struggling. I thought when he came back up, he was going to turn it around, but he hasn't. He did for like a week, maybe. I don't know. The Twins pitching is so terrible that it really does get people back out of their slump. So maybe the Yankees will hit. I'd like to see Kepler, and we need to start calling him the Astronomer. I think people need to use that as his nickname. But we'd like to see the Astronomer and Buxton, and, Byung-ho Park is sort of teetering on the edge of being benched. Some of these guys hit. They're exciting young players, and new players, at least in Park's case. He's 29, but I'd like to see these guys hit. I think the Twins should have been an exciting team. I don't know why. I knew their pitching was going to be bad, but I think their lineup should be better than it is.
Spot on the pitching. Snow's hurt. A variety of different things. Let's get in one text before we let you go. 1062. Did experts see Story and Duvall doing this? I sure didn't.
I have Story in a couple of ways. It was foreseeable with Story because once they announced he was batting second in Coors, there was a ton of upside. And he strikes out a ton, but so what, right? If you can hit 17 home runs, bat 260 with lots of runs and ribbies and a handful of steals, it's worth it. Duvall was kind of a surprise.
Well, Chris, appreciate you jumping on Thursday. We'll talk to you back on a Wednesday here in a couple weeks. Let us know what's going on at rotowire.com.
Rotowire.com/trial. It's a free 10 days. We'll get all the projected stats and rankings and cheat sheet up for Rotowire for football. So if you want to get going with football, it's a free 10-day trial. Rotowire.com/trial.
Good stuff. All right, Chris, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, and third round of the United States Open has now been drenched for the day. It is done, and only 9 players, Mark, got done, so Zach will have to go out early tomorrow morning. Not sure if he's going to get his second round in. We shall see on that. We'll join you tomorrow. Mark, the topic for tomorrow for people.
Best father-son and father-daughter combinations in sports history.
There you go. That's our topic for tomorrow. And we'll talk to you at 3 from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City.
Hey, golfers! Golf Headquarters Cedar Rapids is ready for our annual Father's Day sale. Golf Headquarters Million Dollar Inventory Selection has everything for golf. The latest